Okay, we'll call the meeting of House Committee on Regional Affairs to order. It's Wednesday, March 3rd. The time is about 8:35. We have a quorum present consisting of Representatives Bilesma, Drusendorf, Claxton, and myself. We have on the agenda this morning three bills. House Bill 723 and House Bill 724, which deal with the extensions of the Senate Bill 168 appropriations of last year, and House Bill 840, which is the sort of an omnibus rural water and sewer bill. I thought maybe we could take up 723 and 724 first off this morning. I think we've more or less, you know, we've covered those pretty thoroughly, and unless anybody has any further discussions or wants to get into further things, you know, as far as I can see, we're about ready just to move them out of the committee. But even before we get into any of that, if anyone has any questions about anything else that we should appropriately take up before we do that. Okay, well, let's take a look at 723 and 724 then. Anyone have any questions or anything about it?
Well, let me ask you. I don't know if we're supposed to be on the teleconference.
No, excuse me. The teleconference thing, by the way, is there's a gentleman in Anchorage by the name of Dan Rodmus, I think it was, with the Public Health Service, who is probably going to be available up there to us about 9 o'clock our own time here, and which is another 20, 25 minutes. And he apparently has some comments that he'd like to make on the water and sewer thing. So go ahead, Representative Clark.
With regard to 723 and 724, then, just to give you sort of my view, I have reviewed the materials that have been circulated on the sovereign immunity question, and I am sort of at least putting together in my own mind a proposal for how to resolve that. Assuming that there will be an opportunity to do that in some legislation that this committee will take up, like the governor's bill, whatever the number was, on revenue sharing and such, I suppose it is not appropriate to blow up 723 and 724 by spending time on that sovereign immunity issue. So if there is that understanding that we'll get another shot at this question on a bill that we'll be moving out of this committee, I don't want to slow up these bills with the sovereign immunity question. I think there are some questions there. I think we can somewhat, in my view, change the policy of the state on sovereign immunity, that the legal situation is different than it was last year when the legislation was approved, and I've been sort of putting together some ideas and would appreciate the time to discuss those, but I'm not, it is not necessary to do it on 723 and 724.
Actually, Representative Houston.
No, Mr. Chairman, I was just nodding my head in agreement with.
Yeah, I was going to say too, I suppose really almost any vehicle that comes along could be used to discuss that question.
Sort of prefer a vehicle that's got some impetus already behind it, however.
I think I get the message. Okay, any other comments? If not, I guess we're ready for motion, if anybody cares to make
one. I'll move that we move.
We should probably take them one at a time.
723.
Okay, the motion has been made to move 723 from the committee. Is there a discussion? Oh, Linda has it.
Original bill isn't really the one you're dealing with.
You're right. Okay, you're right. We better. Representative Bosma.
Sponsor.
Yeah, maybe we should move for the. I
withdraw my motion and move that we move this committee substitute to 723. I think it's committee substitute.
Yes.
Right.
Actually, it's a sponsor substitute.
I'm get to it. Sponsor substitute 723. I move that we move it out.
Any discussion on that? By the way, did I didn't notice. Did he leave in a manner that it looked like he's gonna be right back? Should we hold?
I think he's gonna be right back.
Why don't we stand at ease for a couple of minutes and see if he, I don't know if he wants to vote on this or not. Okay, we'll be back in order. I didn't know whether you were coming right back or if you wanted to vote on this. Doesn't matter. Okay, Representative Bylsma withdrew his motion and moved instead to move the sponsor substitute.
Now, we're not talking about the proposed amendment by the Community and Regional Affairs, right? Not this thing.
Just a sponsor substitute.
Right, where is that now? Let me make sure I've got the right.
Yeah, it's the one,
Excuse me, it's in the back of the.
Should be stapled.
Down the right-hand side stapled.
Stapled right on there.
And what's?
By Cook, right? You got by Cook.
Okay, that amended, 1A and 2A, right?
By changing the dates.
Changes the dates essentially.
Yeah, and the difference between the sponsor substitute and the original bill is that the sponsor substitute changes the dates for incorporated municipalities as well.
Yes.
Is that right?
Right.
Any other questions? Okay, the motion is to move the sponsor substitute. All in favor, raise their hand. Motion is carried unanimously. Okay.
Interesting, Mr. Chairman, how the tape will pick that up.
Well. Okay, so that takes care of 723. And does anyone care to make a motion on 724?
Now, tell me again what the difference is. We got sidetracked on the sovereign immunity question.
Okay, we also have a sponsor substitute for 724, and it essentially is the same thing. Section 1, you guys have a copy of the summary sheet stapled on the inside of here?
The difference is that you had to put it in two bills because one of them's an appropriation bill.
One extends the appropriation and one extends the
application
statutory authority.
Yeah.
The application.
That's why it couldn't be done in two bills, I guess.
Were you ready to make a motion, Mr. Bylsma?
Yeah. I'm trying to get the difference here in my mind a minute first.
I think it's that.
Mr. Clark.
Once again, I think the difference is, and I could stand corrected by anybody in the audience, the difference is, again, that the original bill only applied to the appropriations for unincorporated communities. And the sponsor substitute was expanded to cover municipalities as well.
Mr. Chairman, the difference between 723 and 724 is, I understand, 723 amended the authorizing language, 724 amended the appropriation.
Okay.
Right. We already knew that. The question is the difference between the original bill and the sponsor substitute. And I think it just expands it to municipalities. Isn't that right?
That's right.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the sponsor substitute for 724.
Okay, we have a motion to move the sponsor substitute. Any discussion? Okay.
And let me just, I guess, before we actually vote on it, I've been reading through the list of those unincorporated communities that have received the aid and what they've spent it for, and I just would like to say that it's nice to see that this legislature can do something good. Looks like they're really spending the money for very appropriate items, and it's providing a substantial benefit to those communities that have applied. Seems to be working. That's all.
It's working well in our community, I'll say that much. Okay, any further discussion? Let's call for the question. All in favor, raise their hand. Again, it's carried unanimously. Okay, I'll just pass these around for you guys to sign up. We got a couple minutes here. And And while we're doing that, then let's take a look in the folders at House Bill 840. There's some materials in there this morning that have been put in at the in response to some of the questions that were asked, mainly by Representative Clausen, I think, at our last discussions on this bill. I believe you have a memo from Linda Ody, the committee aide here, comparing, well, Representative Clausen had a question on, you know, whether there were any duplications for the proposed appropriations in this bill and what had been done last year. And in your folder, I think you have a deal that compares last year's House Bill 334 appropriations to this year's 840 appropriations, and it's sort of self-explanatory there. It doesn't really look like there are any direct duplications, although this memo addresses only those communities which were listed in both last year's legislation and this year's. Then there are some other backup materials in your folder that you might want to review for a few minutes. Also this morning we have a couple of people who have made a request to testify. Maybe we can spend some time at that. This gentleman in Anchorage is going to be there around 7 o'clock his time, is that it? Which is 9 o'clock here. Okay, Greg Capito from Department of Environmental Conservation is asked to make some comments.
Mr. Chairman, I think we were invited just to sit and be present in case you guys have any
questions. Oh, I see.
I don't have any prepared statement and don't intend on making it unless you gentlemen request some background information.
And Mr. Axe, you had the same thing, or did you want to make?
Yeah, well, I just had a few comments. Representative Clausen had asked us to look into some of the specific projects that were supposed to come to Community and Regional Affairs, and I asked the Division of Community Planning to take an overall trip through the bill and take a look at a lot of those grants. And I'll just give some very general comments. Our line agency people feel that in many respects, many of these projects have not had sufficient planning, scoping, or sufficient thought given to how they're going to be operated and maintained. That's not to say the project isn't needed, but it is to say that we'll probably have several years of bills like this completing the projects. We're also concerned about the grant mechanism that's used and what resources are available to the departments to provide technical assistance and monitoring to ensure that the project's getting completed. There's three or four different mechanisms for getting the money out. Some involve direct grants, some involve the departments getting actively involved in building the facility. And we're just very concerned that the resources are not there, particularly in many of the small communities, to monitor a grant like this and to ensure that the project gets built. And then they come to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for assistance, and we are not water sewer experts. We are, you know, general planning, local government assistance. So I'm very concerned about the future of this type of legislation. While I certainly understand the desire of the legislators to make sure that projects get completed in their area, and not having been involved in this very deeply for several years, it would still seem preferable to me that some kind of bulk sum be made available to the appropriate Department of Environmental Conservation, and give them the projects you want done, and let them go in and do the appropriate amount of planning and scoping and assurance of operation and maintenance expenses. I'm particularly concerned about the unincorporated community grants that we're asked to hand out there. We try to deal mostly with municipalities. Unincorporated are new. The expertise and structure are not there for the most part to implement a grant like that. And we're very concerned that the project may or may not get done, and if it does get done, is it the right project? So those are the general comments I want to make. I cannot offer specific comments on any of the projects. Our planning people spoke to PHS, they consulted with DEC, and the information I have is as sketchy as any other information on these projects. Unless we had on-site visits, there would be no way to determine what's needed.
Questions, Representative Clarkson?
You're talking about the projects in section five of House Bill 840.
But I would also make that general comment for many of the other projects which go for many small second-class cities as direct grants, for perhaps in section four, although we have not, and also for section six, we have not yet looked in depth at each project, but I have those real concerns that we will be called in and asked for varying degrees of technical assistance without the expertise or the resources to provide
them. On the Section 4 grants, to the extent that those are grants to provide as matching funds for DEC projects, presumably DEC expertise will be called upon.
That's
correct.
They've got
to put together the other half of the grant.
That's correct. But I don't know that DEC knows precisely how many projects that relates to.
Well, let me focus my questions on Section 5, since those are real clear cuts that they're going to you. Which of those 12 are unincorporated communities?
They're all unincorporated communities.
Can I ask a question there, too? To your knowledge, do all of these communities in Section 5 have nonprofit corporations of some sort in place at this time? Or
I would say that they don't. What one way to check would be to look at that other list that I prepared for the committee on the SB 168 grants.
Yeah.
There is some overlap. I think Chalkeetsik has developed one to date, but that's the only one that comes to mind. I would also point out, Mr. Chairman, just for your information, and I don't know if it's in Linda's memo, House Bill 334 gave us three grants last year for solid waste facilities. I think to Northway, to Cotna, and to Lida. And to date, we have received no response from two of those communities, even though the grant funds are available for them. And in Tocotna, I understand we have made contact with the community and are in the process of finalizing a contract award. But of the three grants you gave us, two, we haven't heard back from the community yet.
Maybe we should transfer those monies. I have a couple of projects in mind.
CRA fund.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let me ask.
Go ahead.
Do you know on those 12 projects how many of them have feasibility studies completed? Of course, some of them, like Tocotna, this money is for a feasibility study.
Right.
For those that are for actual construction, how many of them have feasibility studies?
Couldn't tell you.
Do you know if any of them do?
I have a listing where we went through each project and. Let me see if I can find any here that have a feasibility study. In Chalkeetsik, there is a feasibility study going on for that particular project.
According to your chart that you prepared for Senate Bill 168,
right.
Rampart at least has a nonprofit that was formed for purposes of receiving 168 money. Is that any sort of hints that maybe they've done some work on this as well?
I couldn't tell you. I doubt it.
Chairman. Representative Bosma.
in section five, to Cotna.
Yes.
Has a feasibility study. I wonder why that's $25,000 and number one we have feasibility studies are $50,000.
I think it depends on the size of the community and the scope of what they perceive to be the scope of the project. I couldn't say.
Why these round figures? Can it be done for $25,000? Are we just setting out figures to you know, well, we'll put out this much, and because we know if we put out that much, that much will be used. So I wonder if the advisability of are we just picking figures out of the air, or what are we doing?
That would be a question I have to go back and ask. Yeah. What kind of transportation would be involved in getting a study done?
Well, of course, you know, these figures aren't your figures either, right?
No, I don't.
It's possible that the Marla Burke can answer some of our questions. She's been working on this.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Axe. Is there anyone else here that wanted to make any
comments of any particular kind?
There's just one comment I'd like to make in section four for the map. There was a question about which projects require matching grants. Those projects are the Wrangell project, the Sitka project.
Wait.
Okay, Wrangell, Sitka. Yeah, that's number four, number five, and Fort Myers, which is number 12. And Cayenne, which is number 25. And that totals up to $2,071,000.
Okay, thank you.
And also there are three projects. The project in Northway, solid waste project in Northway, that's in section five. In section one, the 2B, Kungiganak, these are just completions. Completed project that they got in 2004.
If I can, just on Northway, the memorandum from Linda Otis indicates that the money for 334 was for a feasibility study. Mm-hmm. They apparently finished that and went ahead with construction of some of that money.
It's a solid waste.
I'd point out that we haven't heard back from Northway. We've notified them that the grant is available. And as I mentioned, the only three communities in Northway, Salida, and Takata that we've heard back from is Takata.
Oh, that's
not
right.
Well, this is what I got from the representatives.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe we should, it's about 9 o'clock, maybe we should get a hold of this guy in Anchorage and see what he's got to say.
What was the third one you were?
Collider. It's not on the
question.
I just have to say, you guys are talking about cutting the budget.
Just don't say it too loud.
Hello, Dan. My name is Mr. Dice. How's the operational we're cutting the regional affairs?
Pardon me? The operational that's being cut.
Mr. Rodnes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Very well. Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Rodnes. This is Pat O'Connell at the Community Regional Affairs Committee in Juneau. I'd like to thank you for being out and available at this hour of the morning up there in Anchorage. We have before us this morning four of the five committee members, Representative Bilesma from Anchorage, Representative Grusendorf from Sitka, and Representative Clarkson, also from Anchorage, and myself. We've been discussing House Bill 840, which is the sort of an omnibus water and sewer bill for some of the rural areas of the state, and various questions have come up during some of the discussions down here, questions having to do with general procedures for planning and coordinating different very basic water and sewer projects in some of the bush areas and how they're funded and whatnot. And I understand that Linda Ode, our committee aide, spent some time on the telephone with you yesterday. And so maybe we could just start off to see if you have any particular comments of your own. Go ahead.
Okay. I do have a copy of the bill in front of me. Let me give you just a couple of brief comments regarding our program and how it's funded, since we're doing much the same work that you're talking about here for the state. Our program for the last several years has been tied very closely to the HUD Indian Housing Program. know what more I can give you by way of background. I'd be happy to answer questions on any of the individual ones or any general questions or go through some of them.
Well, Mr. Rodness, this is Don Clarkson. Since you do have a copy of the bill before you, let me ask a general question first. Is there any duplication here with projects that the Public Health Service has underway or funded at this time or planning on having funded?
Okay, there are a few. Some of them, because of the description of the work involved, it's hard to know for sure exactly what they had in mind. Like I said, our money goes in support of the new housing. In some cases, if they have an existing water and sewer system, our funds would only be to extend the water and sewer system to serve the new housing area. They may have a need somewhere else in town that we haven't addressed, and because of the brief description, I'm not real sure of that. Let me mention a couple of them that we are working in now. In section 2 of the bill, NOAA TAC is G, and we are in the process of working up there now. We are not sure what that money would be for, in addition to the work we're doing.
Well, on that one, if I may, what are you doing in NOAA TAC? Are you building houses there and putting a sewer system, water and sewer in, or is there such a system in existence for the existing houses in NOAA TAC?
Hello?
Can you hear me? If you want to,
Mr. Rodness, I don't know if we just had two people trying to talk at once or if we lost contact with you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay, Representative Clarkson has some questions. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Rodness?
Just barely.
Well, the question was, what are you doing in NOAA TAC, and do they have an existing water and sewer system?
Okay, we're extending the existing water and sewer system to serve the new housing area, and we're doing some relatively minor upgrading of the system that's there.
Okay, could you identify other possible duplications?
Yes. In Section 3 of the bill, or no, that's not right. Still in Section 1, Item 3 at the top of the second page, there's some money for landfills in 4 communities. We recently finished a project in Clark's Point, and as a result of that project, we left fencing material and a piece of equipment to be used for a landfill. They did not have a site selected, so the materials were left with the village to construct the landfill when they chose a site. Okay, in Section 3 of the bill, the fourth village listed is Elam. They also have complete water and sewer. We are working in there now, again, in conjunction with the new housing project. We are completely replacing their sewage treatment facility. The only possible additional work that may be needed there in the future is the water source becomes marginal in the wintertime. Although, to our knowledge, they've not yet run out of water. They have run low a few times in the winter. And I'm not sure what money for a feasibility study would be for in that case.
I don't know how much time you want to spend on
that. In the next section of the bill, Section 4, Village Number 12, Fort Lyons, on page 3. We are working there now in conjunction with a new housing project. We are upgrading both the water and sewer systems and extending them to serve the new housing areas. There are, however, some existing homes at different parts of town that are not served. If that's what this money is for, it probably could be well used there.
Mm-hmm.
another village that we're working in now on that same page, number 20, Kuslaya. We are working there on a cooperative project with the Village Safe Water people on extending the existing water and sewer systems to serve some houses that have been built since the systems were installed several years ago. Because of the nature of the VSW funding and the nature of our program, we cannot provide the plumbing for those houses, and if that's what this money is for, it would tie in very well to that project. Number 25 on the same page, Kiana. We are working in Kiana now, or will be this summer, again, in conjunction with the new housing project. They do have trouble with the sewage treatment plant, which is what this money is shown for. We have some tentative plans to renovate that plant. If this money were available to renovate the plant, our funds could be used to fix up the water system, which recently partially froze. Okay, we're also working in Chungnak in conjunction with a new housing project, the next project on that list. We are not aware of a need for sewer lines and are very unsure what this money might be for. Norvik, the next project on the list, we're also working in. They may have some specific items in mind as water and sewer repairs, but the designation is here, we're not real sure what they are. We're upgrading the pump house now and extending the system to serve some new houses.
Okay, Mr. Rodness, this is Representative O'Connell again. I'd like to go back to a couple of your original comments where you mentioned, you know, generally what you folks do in the scope of some of your project. Could you just tell us a little bit again, how big an operation do you folks have going? What kind of, in terms of money and things, you know, how much money do you folks spend throughout the bush and some of these projects on a year-to-year basis, and how big a staff or engineering or whatever? A few generalized comments along those lines, if you could, please.
Okay. During the past several years, we've been doing about $17 to $18 million worth of construction a year. We have a fairly large engineering staff doing nearly all of our engineering work and a lot of our own construction work. This year, our budget is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million due to federal budget cutbacks. Theoretically, our funds should be equal to serving the villages that are receiving new HUD homes in any given year. This year, we have about only half enough to do that. There are several villages on the list that are slated to receive HUD homes for which we have no funding. The president's proposed budget for next year has no dollars in it for our program. That may change as the budget goes through Congress, but as of right now, there are no dollars there.
Okay, maybe your last comment almost negates what my next question was going to be, but I was going to ask, is there a generalized coordinated effort, you know, between your department and the State Department of Community and Regional Affairs? When you guys are going into a community, do you generally try to coordinate, you know, with the state people to see what they're doing and whatnot? Or sometimes do you just meet each other by surprise in these villages? Or can you make some general comments along that line?
Sure. We work very closely with DDC and the Village Safe Water Program. I think we have a real good relationship. We have several cooperative projects around the state. We've helped each other out with regard to a call from a village where a project has been installed by them, and we've had somebody we could send out, and they've done the same for us.
Okay, I was also going to have asked some questions if the state, you know, just gets so enthusiastic about funding these, some of these projects that they just can't wait to spend their own money on it, rather, you know, obviously I imagine that you folks then would say that's all to the better that you can spend your money in other areas, but I was going to ask if that ever works vice versa, that, you know, that maybe the federal government has more money to spend in these areas than the state does, but it looks like you've answered any question about that just with your comments on how your own proposed budget is for next year. Do any other members of the committee here have any further questions or comments for Mr. Rogers?
Was he through with these?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In section one, on page one of the bill, G, Noatuck, in talking about that project, I see there's $400,000 there. What do you have budgeted for Noatuck?
I'm not sure how much we have budgeted. We are, it's the money that we're spending there is partially ours and partially the NANA Housing Authority. Our program is tied in with the HUD program on a national level in that the Housing Authority with HUD funds pays for all water and sewer costs within the subdivision. If the new homes are built in a subdivision, we pay for all water and sewer costs outside the boundary of the subdivision. I'm not sure what the dollar amount is. I don't have that in front of me. But basically, the Housing Authority's funds were to pay, are paying all the costs of the water and sewer within the subdivision. Our dollars are paying for extensions of the systems to the subdivision boundary and any needed overall repairs on the water supply part of the system or the sewage disposal part of the system.
Any other questions? Okay, do any other members of the committee have any questions or further comments? Representative Claxton.
No. I just want to make sure, Mr. Rodness, that you've completed your list of potential duplications.
Okay, let me check the last page here. The only other one would be on the very last page of the bill under the solid waste disposal project, and that is number six, Shunmac. We have fencing for their landfill included in our current project.
You said you did have, would you repeat that comment one time, please?
Okay, we have a project up there that we'll be working on this summer to extend the water and sewer system to serve some new houses, and we have included fencing for the landfill in that project.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, it looks like maybe the committee members don't have any further questions. If you have any further comments yourself or any generalized statements, feel free to make them. Otherwise, we'd like to thank you very much for sharing your time with us this morning. It looks like maybe Representative Claxton has another question. Go ahead.
Mr. Rodness, just a general question. Is the policy of your agency on providing operating funds for some of these projects? Do you provide any operating funds? Have you experienced any difficulties in these villages in actually operating these facilities once they're completed?
Okay, our program was set up in 1959 by Congress to plan, design, and build these systems, and some very general wording on making arrangements for operation and maintenance. That statement has been interpreted over the years to mean that our funds cannot be used directly for operation and maintenance. As a result, the facilities are constructed, ownership is transferred to the village, they are responsible for operation and maintenance. And we have developed, especially over the last several years, a fairly detailed technical assistance program for the villages, not financial assistance, but technical assistance through the use of people we call
Thank you. Mr. Rodden, this is Don Clarkson again. I've been going through some of these duplications and comparing them to the justifications, what we're referring to as potential duplications, and comparing them to the justifications. Let me just read one of them for Shungnak. You indicated that you were not aware of the need for sewer lines. Let me read the description and see if that you might change your opinion on whether or not there's a potential duplication there. In Shungnak, it's $300,000 for sewer lines. The Public Health Service installed a pipe. I'm reading now. Public Health Service installed a pipe sewage collection system with sewage discharged to a lagoon. Lines have been breaking due to freezing. Approximately 1/2 mile of pipe is needed to repair the existing sewage system to make it operable. So this is money, apparently, to correct the system that you had installed. What's your reaction to that?
Okay, if that's the case, we're not aware of it. And also, it would be fairly rare for a sewer line to break when it freezes. Water lines do that quite regularly, but we're not aware of that problem. And normally, they have not been at all hesitant to contact us if they have that kind of a problem.
Do you have funds available to correct problems that develop in your own projects?
There is a source of funds called special funds, which is mainly for emergencies, which have been available in years past. Again, because of the budget tightening, we have none of that money available now. We cannot use our regular funds for supportive housing projects for that, unless we happen to be working in a village anyway.
Are you working in Shungnak at this time?
We are working in Shungnak at this time. We don't have an additional $300,000 to put into the project, however. We will be working in Shungnak this summer, let's put it that way. We have a project scheduled for there this summer.
Mr. Rodness, I think we're working up another question here, if you can hold for just a second, please.
Sure.
Mr. Rodness, on no attack, you indicated that you apparently were constructing or in cooperation with the construction of new houses there, you were extending the existing system and doing some upgrading of the system. I believe that was what you indicated.
Right.
According to the background material provided to us on the NOATAC project, that $400,000, let me read that one to you and get your reaction to it. And again, I'm quoting. The community has a 550-foot deep well, which supplies a 50,000-gallon wood stave storage tank. Water is piped to all homes. In 1980, a water line was damaged, which interrupted services to some homes. 20 new homes constructed in 1981. That was a grammatical error. 20 new homes constructed in 1981 will require expansion of water system to adequately operate. That's the justification for the $400,000. Do you have any response to that?
The damage to the existing system was caused when a contractor drilling piling for a new school drilled through the water line. One complete water line loop in the town was shut down as a result of that. The money that we're using of our own this year is to get that loop back in operation, not the entire length of the loop, but the loop, that the portion of it that the city felt needed to be back in operation, because they felt that some of the people that lived on that water line were going to be receiving new houses. The second part of that justification, that the money needed to assist in serving the new houses, unless the money is going to offset part of the housing authority's costs within the subdivision, which I guess could be a possibility, as far as I know, none of the off-site costs that we are, that we have all the off-site costs that we're responsible for covered, as far as I know.
Well, let me focus in on that maybe for a second. There was one other one here, Hoosley, I think, where you indicated you could not provide actual plumbing for the houses.
Right.
And the description for the use of the state money was specifically to provide plumbing for the houses. Is it possible then that that's the situation in NOATAC as well, and that there is no duplications, that in fact the expansion of the water system that's referred to in the state appropriation would be simply to provide plumbing that you are not going to provide?
No, I don't think so, because when the new houses are built by a housing authority, the plumbing is provided as part of the home. In the case of Puslia, the homes are relatively new homes that have been built by individuals over the last several years since the water and sewer system was constructed. They were not plumbed, and to hook the individual homes, which I don't remember the number, but there's quite a few of them up in the system, they would have to be plumbed first.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, it looks like that's probably the total of our questions, Mr. Rodness. Again, I'd like to thank you very much for coming out so early to participate with us this morning. We appreciate it. And if you have any further comments yourself, go ahead at this time.
Okay, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. I think there are several very good projects on this list. A lot of the ones that we didn't talk about that are not duplications, some of those villages have a real need. And if you ever need any additional information in the future, I'd be available at any time.
Okay, thank you again. And with that, then, we'll sign off on this network. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. What do we have to do to disconnect that thing? That's it. Just disconnect.
Okay. Amazing.
Well, that's probably enough information for one morning to let us regulate our brains. Any questions?
What's your intention?
Think about it for a while. Do you guys have any comments you want to make in following that, or any of you gentlemen or people want to make any comments relative to that before we...
There is one other bit of information, Mr. Chairman, that should be in the mail to committee members today, and that is that we have a program, as I outlined the last time, that supplements that HUD PHS program for water sewer access roads and electric distribution facilities in new housing subdivisions in the remote communities. And that list of where we've made awards should be available in your offices today.
Okay. How about, can I ask about NOATEC? Apparently that's one where the only justification for the $400,000 appears to be as a supplementary grant to the housing authority to put plumbing in those houses.
I can't recall specifically, but the information should be in your mail today. There was a letter to Representative Adams with copies to everyone in the committee here.
Mr. Capito? Capito.
I'd just like to compliment the committee. I thought the idea of calling this guy on the phone was an excellent one, and I found it very informative. And I think it gives us all a slightly different perspective and some real first-hand information on these places. So I think it was a good idea, and I think it worked very, very well. But the questions are right on the mark.
Thank you. I think a lot of the credit goes to Linda for arranging the whole thing. Okay. Let's adjourn for the day. Marla?
Mm-hmm.